Turn with me to the 8th chapter of Proverbs. Some of you think I've got stuck in this chapter. Well, I have, and it's a good place to stick. It's one of the most revealing chapters in the whole Bible. For God has revealed Himself. O Lord God, we can say Thou hast been pleased to reveal Thyself unto Thy creatures. Of course, many of the creatures of God do not pay any attention to this great revelation that God so glorious has graciously granted to them. But Solomon was a wise man. He tarried at the gate. He tells us at the entrance of the palace, he took his place. And there he had given to him the first installments of the divine revelation of the unseeable God. No man has seen God at any time, but God has revealed Himself. Outside the revealing light of our Lord Jesus, we dwell in a valley of intense darkness. God, however, has revealed to us by Christ, who is the light of the world, the only begotten, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared the Father. Turn over in your Bible to the book of Hebrews. And in the book of Hebrews chapter 1, you'll read these words. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made, not the world, but He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory, and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, has had a final ultimatum to the world. In the last days, He has spoken unto us by His Son. Put alongside that passage the words of Christ. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. God the Son was always with God the Father. There can be no doubt whatsoever about that eternal truth. Christ is the wisdom of God. From the beginning, that is even from the beginning. before the world was, as we know it, our world, and the world about us. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, not three gods, but one God, equal in power and glory. We're in the midst of their glory in the highest heavens. Someday, we as believers will see the glory of God. We have some descriptions of it in the Bible. But what will it be like when we see the everlasting dwelling places of the everlasting God? We must read these words in Scripture most carefully. For every word in this 8th chapter conveys a precious divine truth. And we will never know God until we know His Word. And we'll never know His Word until the Spirit of Truth teaches us that Word. What about that verse? The Lord possesseth me in the beginning of His way, through His works of old. It doesn't say that. That's the way we read it. But that's not what the book says. The book says the Lord possessed me in the beginning of His way, before the works of old. Here we have God revealing what came before the beginning of the works of God that we see. Note carefully this language. Every word is of the most utmost importance. It is of the utmost importance to mark what these texts are really saying, and equally important to note what these texts are not saying. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of His way, not anybody else's way, but the sole way, the single way, the isolation way, the unknown way, except God reveals it, of God Himself. I notice something else. This was before His works of old. I don't know how old are God's works, but this text parachutes me to a place before His works of old. The age of the works of God of old, we can't measure. No calendar made by man. No time invented by man or the marking of that time can touch this. We're getting here not to God's works of old, not the creation of the Ancient of Days away back in myriads of spaces that boggle our very minds to think about. No. This goes beyond that. It reaches to before His works of old. Before the most ancient of all God's manifold works, there was a place where God had His Son in His bosom. This is not the beginning of time. This is before the beginning of time. This is beyond the capacity of any man, woman, or child to behold and understand. It is a place. It is a point. It is an unscaled mountain peak in the everlasting mountains of the great beyond. And there was the Father. And there was the Son. And there was the Holy Ghost. One God. The same in essence. Equal in power and in glory. There are two revelations that we need to note here. One, God is beyond all time. Every one of us are straitjacketed in time. We can't understand anything, but it has on the garment of time. But God here is behind all time. Time doesn't rule God. God rules time. No other person rules time. Not a man ever born, not a man with all the brains that the greatest man ever had could get behind time, but God alone is behind all time. He's also behind all space. God is behind all time. In the beginning, our Bible starts with that. In the beginning, I ask the question, when was that? By what innumerable stages, through what immense eras, I can't tell you. I haven't an imagination that could travel at all along the road to reach that. Not the least of the many benefits which modern science has conferred of us is the enlargement of our conceptions concerning time. How vast a period to us is 1,000 years. How far it seems since Alfred the Great ascended the English throne. And that's just about 1,000 years ago. In a museum in Exeter, there is a mummy that is supposed to have been embalmed in the days of Hezekiah. What marvelous revolutions have taken place if that is so, that this mummy was in the reign of Hezekiah. I would have a great and grave doubt about that myself, but if it was, accept it. What marvelous revolutions have taken place since that time? How old we should have thought him had he lived until now. Yet he would have been a little boy compared to Adam. If Adam had not lost life and exchanged through sin death for his life. How far off seems the time when our first parents were in the paradise of God. And yet, what an insignificant period is that compared with the ages of the being of God. Just for a moment, think of billions and millions of ages and string them all together. And they wouldn't be great enough to make one mark upon the calendar of God. We stand at a sea that has no boundaries. We stand at an ocean that cannot be measured. We stand at an ocean that a depth that no ruler man ever made, ever measured. What a mystery is this. Let me say to you that there never was a time, if I might use the term time here, in the being and mystery of God that he didn't think about you and about me. You just think of that. Before the world was, before any of the worlds were, God loved a world of sinners lost and ruined by the fall. We to God are not sudden strangers to the gospel of grace. We to God are the very persons for which the gospel of grace was devised. God has always loved you. God has always loved you. Do you think he'll forsake you in a day of sickness? Do you think he'll forsake you in a day of trial? Do you think there'll come some day in your life where there'll be a hard place and God will leave you alone? Don't you believe it. For when God started to make good in time and in creation what he was going to do for mortal men who had sinned, you know what happened? For the first time, the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. That's the first time we ever read of a song. And what a song was that? It was the old gospel song that Christ would come and die for sinners, and his blood could make 10,000 clean, but individual sinners could say, his blood availed for me. In a dateless period, when God was alone in his deity and power, he found time to think upon beings that would rebel against his will and strike a blow at his commandments and follow the leadership of the prince of devils. But he didn't think of them to damn them. He thought of them how he could save them. To save them from eternal death and everlasting hell. God is worthless. He is the great I Am. To him one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years is as one day. He is the light and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. Let us bow down this morning and say with the psalmist, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. There was a place in the heart of God for you. Think of it. From all generations. There never was a thought born anew in God's mind. For God's mind always included everything. Everything in the past. Everything in the present. Everything in the present. In the future, God knew it all. What did Habakkuk say in chapter 3 and verse 6? He stood and measured the earth He beheld and drove asunder the nations, and the everlasting mountains were scattered. Those are not the mountains of the earth that God created. Those are mountains in the dim and dark eternal mountains, because it says they're everlasting mountains. The perpetual hills did bow. His ways are everlasting. And in Psalm 19:2, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Present tense, not he was God, but I am God. God comes into his own book from everlasting. He will go out of it in everlasting when everything is fulfilled, and God will stroke every T and God will dot every I in this book. And the heaven of heavens shall have an eternal jubilee when we sing out the old and sing in the new. What does he say? He says, I am. He doesn't say, I was. He says, I am. The unchangeable God. O thou eternal, glorious Lord, thy gracious presence now afford, to all our souls thine influence bring, while of eternity to sing. Eternity. Stupendous theme. Compared here with our life's a dream. Eternity, O awful sound. A deep where all our thoughts are drowned. Eternity. The dread abode and habitation of our God. His glory fills the vast expanse beyond the reach of mortal sense. But in eternity there is of endless woe, or joyful bliss, and swift as time fulfills its round, we to eternity are bound. And is eternity so near, and must we all and soon be there? Prepare our souls, O blessed God, to meet our long, our last abode. Ye gracious souls, with joy look up. In Christ rejoice your glorious hope. This everlasting bliss secures, and God and eternity are yours. God has given to us himself. What a gift. God has given to us all his wisdom. For Christ is the wisdom of God. God has made himself yours. And he has made you his. His is the God who is beyond all time. I will come back to the other expression that I mentioned. Our time has gone and beaten us. God is beyond and behind all space. A most interesting study. Think about it. Read the Bible and find out the spaces. There are parts in the Bible that you often have said to yourself, I wish Paul I wish the prophets had said more on that point. But God saw fit to stop the revelation at a certain point. But thank God, elsewhere in the book, those points are taken up again. And it is our duty to search the Word and to put all things together, and you will have a perfect road. You know where it'll lead you to? It'll lead you to the throne. It will lead you to a vision of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it will lead you to your knees to wonder what God saw in you, that he put all his wisdom and all his strength and all his might into your salvation. And that's what he did. The highest, the greatest, the most mighty, and the most inexplicable in the life of God is a cross on a hill outside the city wall. For it was there that God paid the price for your redemption and mine. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. There, God's mercy was multiplied to me. But there, my raptured soul found liberty at Calvary. Aren't you glad you're saved today with a wonderful salvation? Aren't you glad you have met this wonderful God, that he's not meeting in isolation from us, but he's meeting us on a plane that we can understand, because everything we have, if it's wisdom, he gives it to us. If it's joy, he gives us to us. If it's pardon, he gives us to us. If it's mercy, everything we have is bequeathed to us by him. Well, might we say, he's the lily of the valley. He's the rose of Sharon. And he's a bright and morning star. And he's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. May we not grieve him. May we not do things that bring pain to his heart. But may we ever be like the old patriarch. He walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the love that Jesus had for me, to suffer on the cruel tree, that I a ransomed soul might be, is more than tongue can tell. Thank you, Lord, you're the everlasting God. And thank you, you never slumber, nor do you ever sleep. Amen and amen.